Everyone should have access to this. Everyone should be able to, if they want to, everyone should have access to a tool that allows them to be healthier, number one, and to have that mental clarity, to be able to build connections with community. I believe it's a human right. I think everyone should have access to those pools of tools to enable you to just become a better person and live a more fruitful life.
Hello and welcome back to TBR. With Chicago Marathon just over a week away, runners from around the globe will be tapering down and preparing to take to the streets of the Windy City for 26 miles of challenge, enjoyment and discovery. This week, we caught up in central London with one runner who will be joining those at the start line. Michelle Zimbunu, better known on Instagram as Runner's Vantage, is, to quote her bio, happiest when outside. And when not working in tech, she takes on distances all over the world. In this conversation, we talk about being tricked into parkrun, how she learnt to describe herself as a runner, her work in tech, her mental fortitude, and why post-Chicago she'll be reflecting on how far she's come and taking some well-earned time off running. It's a great conversation, and I am very grateful to Michelle for taking the time to chat. Let's get into the interview.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining me. In this central London pocket of quiet.
Beautiful. I don't feel like I'm in London.
Oh, no, it's lovely, isn't it? I love the green spots in London, and I'm really grateful that you're here with me. We're going to go back and we're going to go over all of your kind of running story and journey, but like the thing that's in the immediate horizon for you right now.
Oh my gosh, Chicago.
So you're about a week away.
A week away, 11 days.
How are you feeling?
No, it might be 10 now. It might be 10. It might be in the 10 day countdown. I'm feeling strong and I'm standing by that. I said that to you last week and I said, I'll see how I feel. But I do. I feel strong. I feel really sound in my spirit and in my body. I don't have any niggles or injuries. I keep getting paranoia on little things, but I know they're in my head. But physically and mentally, it's probably the most sound I've entered a marathon or a race, to be honest. I feel really, really content. Third time's a charm, I guess.
So this is your third marathon now?
Third marathon.
In quite a short space of time, right?
Yeah, third marathon in 11 months. Third world major marathon in 11 months. Spanning over, but this has been building up over 7.5 years worth of running, where I just concentrated on the half marathon distance for a long time, because I think that's okay. You don't have to be a marathoner. You don't have to be a runner. But then last year I decided, let me just put myself in the New York City Marathon ballot. Not sponsored. I said, if it's meant to be, let the odds be in my favor. It's a hard one to get into. The results came back positive. And I kind of went, I'm going to have to run this because I'm not turning this down. There's no way. So maybe now's my time. And it's always something I knew I'd do eventually. But it just came earlier than possible. And then once I did that, New York was an experience in itself. How far apart that. New York City Marathon, my first marathon, was the hottest New York City Marathon on record.
Oh, you did it that year.
Yeah, that year, right, that year. Yeah, my first marathon was the hottest New York City Marathon on record. Not a flat course, a super tough course. And I trained the hardest I've ever trained in my life for anything, and it really was, you can train as hard as you want, but what happens on the day, the environment and things you can't control, you just have to embrace them. So yeah, that came, and then I decided, right, I need to do this again, and of course I want to do London, it's my hometown, and after that Chicago, and then I went, you know what, I'm on a roll, I'm gonna do all six in as soon as I can. So that's the plan right
that
now.
That is the plan. So what, going back, because you said New York, I imagine that is a story within itself, like not the best sort of first experience, but what was it that made you want to come back, even though it was maybe like that it was really hard, it was a tough course? Yeah. Like,
so I always felt like I found my purpose with running. I always felt like I found my, okay, I run because it gives me clarity, and that's the pinnacle. I found my meaning of running when I started running, and then I just have to take that forward for the rest of my running, I guess, life, or as long as I'm moving. And then training for a marathon, just it took me to a different level of my relationship with running. It changed my life. The things I learned about myself, my resilience, things that I thought I'd already discovered. That's why I run, right? I run for the clarity. That's why I tell people. That's why I believe. Mm. I run because of the mental health benefits. I run because of my community. But training for a marathon by myself without this big community, because they weren't coming to New York with me, the toughness, the resilience, the self-doubt, and just having to go through all these different barriers within the training cycle. So I don't think it actually was even the race. I think what changed my, or just revolutionized my new relationship with running is the training period. And that's why I really get sad when people just like rush into a marathon with like 2 weeks training or really minimal, because I think you have to respect the distance. You have to honor the training cycle and honor your body and honor the distance. And I feel like doing that allowed me to really discover myself, why I run again, what running means to me, and just what an amazing achievement it is to be able to move your body for 42.2 kilometers. It's phenomenal. I know we see it every day, but it's a miracle.
So had you already, or had you maybe subconsciously made the decision that you were going to do more of the marathons before you'd even got to New York and the gun had gone off? Through that training experience, because it had unlocked that extra sort of level within you?
Yeah, so in my head, I think when I got the result, I said, I'm going to train once. I'm going to train and do this marathon. Then as I started the training cycle, I said, no, I need more of this. I need more of this. And when the race finished, there's this picture, I'll have to show it to you afterwards. I've got my hand on my chest as I'm crossing the New York City marathon finish line. And I had so many different reactions. My friends were like, were you having like a heart attack? Like, what was happening? Maybe, but I just genuinely was just in disbelief that this, I've just done this and this is over. And I remember thinking, wow, this is the hardest thing I've ever done, but I want to do it again. So I knew, when I first got the confirmation that I was doing the race, I said, okay, cool, nice. I'll do a marathon. New York City was a beautiful one to do. Running culture is peak in New York City. But then I think through the training cycle and all the difficulties, I just thought, no, I've got more to give. Mm-hmm. And New York City Marathon beat me up. It chewed me up and spat me out. But it was one of the best experiences of my life. And I said, I need to come back and I know I can do it. I know I can do the distance. And I want to see what else my body can handle. How far can I push myself mentally and physically, not even about PBs, but just about, I felt alive. I think that's the only way I can describe it. And I said, I want to do this again. Some people jump out of planes. I run marathons. That's my thing. That's now my thing now. Yeah.
I just love this idea of feeling like you're at a place with running and then unlocking an extra kind of love for it.
Yeah.
I love that idea because I think sometimes, especially within the kind of running community, there's that the danger. I feel I'm certainly at that place right now where you feel like you've slightly plateaued, or you maybe feel like a bit, maybe not fed up with it, but maybe a little bit disenfranchised. So I love that idea of unlocking an extra level of challenge or enjoyment or enrichment from the sport, I think is wonderful. But I'm curious how you first connected to it, because you said running. Doing 7 years is your kind of running journey so far.
Yep, so far.
There's plenty more chapters left to write.
I hope I'm running till the day I can walk, to be honest. That's my dream.
We're touching wood right here, listeners. So when was your first encounter with it? How did the beginning of the book start?
So the beginning of the book started. So I should probably just put a disclaimer. Because I feel like I talk about the races that I do, and I'm always conscious, even on Runner's Vantage, when people see me running and going races abroad, they think, oh wow, she's so removed from, let's say, if I'm someone who doesn't run. But so as a disclaimer, I did not grow up running. I did not grow up around a track. If you ask my mother, my best friend, anyone that grew up with me, they would have said Michelle is the least likely person we thought would actually be running in her adult life. I hated exercise. I hated sports, except for netball, because I did that with my friends. But the thought of running to me just, I just didn't relate. It wasn't me, and I would have bet anything against it. But then, I guess a few years back, so it's actually, I don't see it as a sad way. I see it as a beautiful way, actually, that I found my running journey. My dad got diagnosed with motor neuron disease, which is a neurodegenerative disease that's terminal and there's no cure. And at the time I was working in the city, and I work in tech. I was working in the city, really intense, on intense projects. I'd spend a lot of time going between work, see my dad, work, see my dad. And I think I had a lot of emotions at a young age of trying to understand, in my young early 20s, trying to understand my parent who was about to pass away, who I knew it was inevitable. And I think what was really interesting to me is seeing my dad was a very physical and very active person. He was the most active person you'll ever meet in your life. He was a fighter jet pilot, so they had to be in peak form. And to see just his body, him not even be able to eat or swallow or move, it just made me realize, it sounds cliche, that it's not guaranteed to be able to move, to be able to walk. And he was someone, up until the day he died, he would like drag himself for walks. Even if he couldn't walk, he'd hold on to me or hold on to someone and just like force himself to get out and get 5 minutes of fresh air a day, even if it's to the end of the drive, because that's all he can manage. And a friend of mine, while I was going through all of this, a friend of mine said to me, let's meet up on a Saturday. And I thought we were going for breakfast, an early breakfast brunch. And then they messaged me and they said, oh, can you actually bring like some workout gear or just like active gear, so trainers? So I thought, okay, maybe we're going for a walk. At the time I lived in South London near a park. I thought we're going for a walk, but around there are brunch spaces. So, you know, oh, it's early, let's do that. And then we actually ended up meeting at Tooting Park Run. And I went, what are we doing here? There's no food. There's no mimosa. And I don't know why these people look like they're about to run. And he basically tricked me and he said, yep, Michelle, we're actually just, let's just try. He said, you don't have to walk. And what I thought was really beautiful, he pointed out there was a woman with a pram. There was an elderly couple that were just like, they were there dressed up like they were ready to run, and just so many different types of people. And he said to me, no one's expecting you to sprint. It's not this, I think I had like trauma from school of like being made to run. And he said, no one's expecting you to sprint. If we have to run it, we can catch up, then we'll go for brunch. And I looked around and I went, oh, okay, you know what? It's not as scary as I think. Everyone here looks normal. They don't look like this ripped version, this idea of a runner I had in my head, ripped version, actually like a white man who's like just gonna be putting loops around me and I'm just gonna be embarrassed and feel awkward and let me just go. And we started and I said, okay, let's just jog. While I'm here, let's jog. And jogged for a bit, walked for a bit, but I did 5K. And I still have the screenshot of me sending to, I think it might have been my sister, and I said, oh my gosh, I just did 5 kilometers, can you believe that? And I think, again, it was just that I didn't even know I was possible. I didn't know I was capable of doing this. And just to bring it back to the context of the period of time in my life, I was experiencing a lot of, I think, anxiety. I had a lot of grief and just trying to process what was going on because of losing a parent. And I thought, this is the first time I've done something for myself. This is the first time I've gone out there and this has been for me, for my body, and it felt good. Didn't feel good when I was running, but when I finished, I was like, wow, this is me pouring into myself and I've not done this for a long time. So I would then, that's how my running journey started, because of Tooting Park Run, of all places. And I never stopped. And it's just been a big snowball effect of this beautiful thing that running has brought into my life, of bringing community, bringing half marathons, to now prepping for my third marathon. And I've just gone with the flow. I've just gone with the flow and let it invest in me, and then found a way to then invest in running via community and other ways. So
wow, what a story, and thank you for sharing that. And I can definitely chime with so much of that, and shout out to Parkrun, the great gateway,
honestly,
for so many people.
I think we talk about it changed my life. And I remember going there, and I'd carried on going there. That friend actually moved out of London, and I carried on going there, and it just became, it was my first introduction to running community. And I think we talk about a lot about obviously the need for communities, but actually that was the biggest, the first introduction for me of having people that actually just got around together. So yeah, shout out to Parkrun.
Yeah,
Tooting specifically, Tooting Parkrun.
Tooting Parkrun.
Not the most glamorous, but
hey. Oh, they all have their unique and wonderful qualities. Exactly. But yeah, Tooting Parkrun Saturdays 9 a.m. Yeah. You know where to go. But also that thing, I really chime with what you were saying. That thing of, I lost my father as well at a young age, and that thing of running as a way to have a sense of control.
Yep.
And autonomy. Yep. And a connection to your physical self that is sort of so pure that when there is other areas of instability,
it's
such a grounding thing.
And that was exactly it for me. I felt like everything was out of my control, and I'm a control freak, as my friends will say. I'll admit that. And everything went out of my control. His diagnosis, the fact that, what do you mean there's diseases in 2000 and whatever, and that we don't have cures for, and things just not making sense to me. And I think running was the one thing I can control. I wasn't a runner, but I know I can get my shoes on. I know I can get out there. I know I can make myself feel like I've done something good. For myself, or it could be the one time where things are silent and it's just me and my thoughts, and I can navigate stuff a lot more clearly, apparently, when I'm out of breath and my heart rate is off the roof. But that was it for me. It was a sense of control, a sense of pouring into myself, and trying to do something for myself.
You said then I wasn't a runner.
Yeah.
When you talk about this sport now, do you describe yourself as a runner? Would you say, I'm a runner? And what's that journey, do you think, has been for you? Would you introduce yourself? I know that's not what you do. You work in tech, and I'd love to ask you about that as well. But in terms of accepting yourself as someone who runs.
I only started talking to telling him, saying that I'm a runner this year. I'll be very honest. Yeah.
What was the switch for you to make you sort of start using that sentence? Because I would have said, like, the end of that part. I mean, taking that first step in the park run.
In the park run, I was a runner then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what? You're right. I was a runner then, but I didn't feel like a runner. That wasn't real running. The real runners are like the track athletes and the marathoners. But that's not what I believe now at all. I'm against that message. It's why I started Runner's Vantage. It's in the name. I'm so against the fact that I believe that, because you're right. The first time I became a runner is when I went to the Tooting Park Run, and I finished it in my Vans. We'll speak about that another time.
You were running for Chicago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah? No. but I became a runner then. I think it took me a long time because of a lot of things. I think when I really dissect it, and I've been thinking about it this year, why has it taken running for 7 years and training for my third marathon to start identifying as a runner? I think a lot of that is because of what I think the misconceptions. So one of the misconceptions I had, and I had to work through, is that if I'm not fast, I'm not a runner, around pace. And I guess the people that are glorified within the running world and seen, and what you see runners as on media, I think a lot of that was to do with representation. It's a podcast, you can't see me, but if you know me, I'm 5'2". I'm a short black girl with braids. I'm not the tiniest in physique, but I'm strong. So I'll say that. And to me, that's not what I think I'd been fed what a runner was in my head. It's not the representation I saw on social media. It's not the representation I saw online. And just, I guess, in school even, the best runners were always a certain build. of a certain physique and certain gender predominantly and certain race. So I just didn't see that as me. Mm. And you might say, okay, you get people like Shelly Ann Fraser and like Usain Bolt. I'm like, yeah, but they're like track athletes. So that's not me either. I'm just a normal person who has a 9 to 5, and just uses all of her annual leave literally and weekends on running. So I didn't see myself as fitting that mold of I guess what's out there and the representation. And I actually had a really interesting experience outside of parkrun. I tried to join a running club community, I won't say names, and I went there and they left me. I wasn't going fast enough. I don't know what it was, but I went to the bathroom. I came back and they'd gone. And I remember messaging like the founder, like, hey, like I was looking for you. And I said to the security guard, it was actually Oxford Circus, Selfridges. And I said, oh, the group of people that I was with, do you know where they've gone? And he kind of went, yeah, they've gone. They went a while ago. As soon as you went in there, I hate to tell you. And I think that first interaction and experience within, okay, the running world and running scene, it really went, okay, I don't belong here. I'm not the typical runner. I don't look like that. I don't have the same physique. I'm not as fast. And I would say it's imposter syndrome, but I also do believe it's accountability within the community that we need to all take upon ourselves, even myself, as someone that knows I don't relate to everyone and other people might, I've got more privileged than someone who might not be able-bodied, etc. What do we project and how do we treat people, and do we make sure that everyone understands that as soon as you come out of your house with a pair of trainers, you're considered a runner? So I think it was a mixture of imposter syndrome and also a mixture of a really bad experience, which I know does not at all reflect the running community that I experience now. But a lot of that made me feel like I'm not really a runner. I think I just do this for fun, but it's not like I'm a proper runner. And then I actually started to really dismantle that and work through how can I actually start acknowledging myself, because unless I acknowledge myself as runner, I then can't acknowledge someone else who maybe looks like me. What message am I saying to them that, okay, you're not a runner too, because that's not what I believe. Sorry, a lot there.
No, it's you beautifully put, and I really value you being so articulate and describing that experience and sharing it as well. And that thing of first impressions count.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you're in amongst this bubble, and it is a bubble to a certain extent, when you're in it and you're talking about the marathons and training blocks and new shoes and nutrition, this new, there's a huge pool of people outside looking in who are like, oh, I'd love to be a part of that, but I'm not sure whether I fit or whether people are going to slow down for me or people are going to say how you like welcome me as well. And I think you're absolutely right. There's accountability for all of us to be representative of this wonderful thing that we love chatting about in a park in central London and saying, oh, how are you doing? You good?
Honestly.
Do you want us to slow down? Are you good? Like, don't worry if you think it's too fast, it's all that. It's on all of us, I think, is what I'm trying to say in a garbled way. Not as articulate as you.
No, I completely agree. Because running communities are just like, and I know people hate, we think we're special because we just think about running all the time. and we're running rules our life. But running communities, to me, the way I see it, they're like any other community, whether it's church or a tech group or anything, a creative community. You have to, if you want to be inclusive, you really have to one, take it upon yourself, and cliques, dismantle cliques, that's a big thing, dismantle people not fitting in because they don't have the right shoes. Because again, if we're talking about accessibility, I know I'm very privileged, the fact that I've been able to run 3 world major marathons. We say running is one of the freest sports, but it's not. It's cost me a heck of a lot. I've been blessed to have stuff to do with brands, but it's, again, how can we make sure that we are sharing the love that we have of the sport and trying to be inclusive and really bring not just our community, but the rest of the world and others that are looking in into it if they want to.
Absolutely. I'd love to, it's so wonderful, your responses. You mentioned tech a couple of times. Yeah. What do you do in tech?
Tech, yes. Yeah. So it's actually
because
like,
I'm a bit of a tech geek. Like really? I don't work in tech, okay. But I'm a bit.
It's one of like the people actually don't know this. I work in health tech. I've got nearly a ten decade career in health technology. So specifically working with healthcare providers such as the NHS in the UK and other healthcare providers. To look at the technology that they use, but my specific passion is around how can we make sure technology is used to enable better care, better citizen experience, how do we use data to make sure that the government or whichever care provider can really learn about the citizens within their environment, their borough, and use that to provide better care, better predictive statistics, be more proactive when it comes to healthcare. So that's my passion, I guess, and that's been my career for nearly a decade. And wow. It's like the world's biggest secret. I think people that look at, I get it a lot. People think, oh, runner's bunch. I was like, no, I've got a career which I love, and it actually relates to my passion for running.
Yeah,
and trying
absolutely.
To make running inclusive and trying to make believing in health equity and believing that running is for everyone. But I just manage them separately in a weird way.
I was going to ask, have the streams ever crossed?
Like
developing tech that's connected within running or?
So it's something that I'm working on at the moment. I think it's something I always manage separately, but something I've started to think there's so many ways that things can align and things can cross over. Okay. So I had an interesting conversation, I won't say which brand, but we had an interesting conversation about marathons and when we all take these gels and fueling stuff, they're like very generically based. And I remember asking one of the founders saying, have you ever thought about using technology and AI, etc., to specialize people's individual tailored nutritional packs, etc.? So it's something that's always crossing over my mind in terms of joining the dots.
Why do I feel like I'm in the future now and I'm downloading an app that you've made?
Just looking at you.
Yeah, it's watching me. Like I'd like, oh, that's super exciting.
But if you think about it, how do you, it's all about using data, right? It's all about using what we know about running today. I think we've got so much knowledge of running and just not just running, everyone's health and their way of lives. How do you make sure that you as an individual are catered for and you're looked after for, taking it into account all of your medical histories, what you desire from your training, where you're at in your life. So I guess that's part of my job, just looking at that. And I guess technology is an enabler for providing better healthcare.
Amazing. Yeah. I imagine like the servers at Strava are probably one of the most valuable resources in the world.
So Strava are my friends. Okay. Strava are a good friend of mine.
Hey Strava.
Hey Strava. They're a good friend of mine. I spent a lot of time in Chamonix with them. But I'm a big Strava fan because of the technology element. I met them for the first time in Chamonix and they said, oh, we know you like our app. I said, no, I've liked your app since you first launched it. Because I just thought of...
You were there in beta.
As someone who's a big fan of technology, I said, this has got the potential to be phenomenal if you think about the data behind it. But yeah, sorry, this is geeky Michelle.
Hey,
technology
no.
Michelle. Hey. And then backing away.
No.
Running Michelle.
Self-confessed geek. Like, you've got a very, like, apt audience for this. Now, you mentioned Chamonix.
Yes.
Talk to me about Chamonix.
Oh, my gosh. So, I've been to Chamonix twice this year. Once was for the Chamonix 10K race. But more recently, last month, at the UTMB, which was...
How was that? How was that experience for you?
It was I'm still trying to put it together in my head. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I was really lucky. I went there with a group of my friends, Ultra Black Running, part of a group that I run with. And we went there and we did the ETC, which is... 15 kilometers, and I always get the stats for the elevation right. I'm gonna say 1800, but UTMB, I always explain because I feel like again, in the running scene, we get used to stuff, we forget that people don't know. So one of the biggest trail event in the world.
It's like the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl of
trail running.
And to be honest, I think even sometimes a road runner's like, look at what's happening at UTMB weekend as a road runner myself. And it's a week long of trail running events ranging from the race that we did, which was the 15K over in the French Alps, the Italian side of Mont Blanc. And so not French Alps, sorry, Mont Blanc. And it's got nearly 2,000 meter elevation. So it felt like I was running a marathon. I was on my feet for longer than my marathon time, put it that way, to the 100 plus K event, which Courtney, etc., and some of my favorite trail races in the world, I got to witness set off, and it was just phenomenal. I think going back to that, the thing I love most about running, just realizing what we can do with our bodies and the power of movement, and just knowing every limit you can think about and think is impossible. And to me, when I started running, it was 5K, which is still very valid for me. Like, for people to be frightened of 5K, I think it's a lot to run on your body. But now when I went there and I saw people doing 100 plus K, it just blew my mind. It was incredible. I was in a town where everyone is wearing running clothes. You go to dinner, you think, oh, I'm not dressed up enough. No, everyone is wearing running clothes.
Trainers are fine.
And accepted everywhere. And everyone is talking about running. Every single brand on earth is there. I bumped into people who I've been following on Instagram for the last 4 years, and we've never met in life because they live the other side of the world. And I bumped into them walking to get my morning coffee. You'd be going to get a smoothie, which actually happened to me, and then the winner of one of the races just casually runs past you as you're going to get your morning smoothie. So it was phenomenal. The race was one of the hardest races I've ever done in my life. I'm putting it up there with New York.
Wow.
Yeah. Putting it up there with New York.
Well, New York.
Not London, because London, I had the time of my life. London, I danced my way through London.
I love that.
But I'm putting it up there with New York.
So but New York was the beginning of a series of challenges for you. Like, you kind of led me to my next question. Like, that sort of experience of UTMB and Chamonix and the mountains, did it lay any foundations for future challenges? I know Chicago's coming up. But are you thinking maybe
ultras?
Ultras. I don't want to put the words in your mouth.
Ultras are in my head. There's one specifically next year that I've got my eyes on. But I always say I am a runner first. Now I'm a runner first. Mm-hmm. I love road running and I love trail running, and they give me different things. I would go against the grain nowadays. I think you have to be one. I see myself as, I love both. I love nature. I love road running. It's one of my first loves, especially introduction into running. However, even prior to that, I used to love hiking. And I think trail running is just that beautiful intersection for me, where I can combine both. The practical challenge, and runners will know this, is trying to fit marathon training and ultra training into the same year, so and having to choose and I guess sacrifice. I think that's going to be one of my biggest challenges moving forward. But yes, New York did open that window for me of picking things that, what can I challenge, how can I push my body and my mind. I think especially more it's my mind, because at the end of it, it's always I believe in myself that 1% more.
Is that the bigger draw for you, the mental expansion rather than the physical expansion? Yep.
I think New York, after a while I knew my body would have done it because my mind told me, but after that I went, okay, just that self-confidence and that self-belief of I can do this. And I think just as who I am, if I'm going to be transparent, yes, I've got this career in tech, but I'm a black woman in tech, I'm a woman in tech, and I'm very stubborn in my personality. I'm a very diligent person. My middle name is Shungu, which in Shona, my mother tongue, means like perseverance and diligence. And I think once I've got in my mind that, okay, I need to prove I can do this, and it's not for anyone, it's for myself, and even my younger self, who would be mind blown that I'm even contemplating an ultra. I've done a marathon or ran 5K in Tooting Park Run. So I think that's always the motivation for me. How can I keep doing things to build upon that belief that I can do this, and anyone who looks like me or might not see themselves in the space might think, she's not really what I would have expected, because I still get that people go, you run?
Yeah, still,
until I go, yeah, I do marathons. They went, what? They go, what? And then it's always that light bulb of, oh, maybe I'll come running with you next time, because maybe I can do it as well. So
bring your vans.
Yeah, don't bring your vans. Or if you do, I'm not responsible for injuries.
That's the disclaimer.
I'm not responsible for injuries, but yeah, the mental expansion and just building, I think, on my self-confidence, my self-belief, and just knowing that I've really pushed myself, I've really poured myself into a training plan. I think that's really what draws for me.
Because you touched on it then in your response saying your middle name translates as just like strength and fortitude and stubbornness. That is, where can you trace that back to for you? Like, is there a foundation that's let, is it come from parents, from family, from like, where does that, because I remember when we first met, so full clarity and context for the listeners, we met in person a week ago and I asked you about Chicago Classic runners, talking about running. And I was like, how are you feeling? And often I've found when you ask runners who, you know, are getting ready for a marathon, when you ask them close to a marathon, how's it going? There's often a long like, well, I'm feeling like this, or oh, this is hurting, or like, oh, it hasn't been. But you just said really confident to me, I'm feeling strong.
Yeah.
And I was really I was impressed, I think. Like, and I could clearly see
delusional, but I like it.
No. Like self-belief. Yeah. Like, and I'm just curious to trace that back. You.
But I feel like that's all come from running. You never would have seen me be that confident in my ability to do something. I think prior to running, and I really owe that to running. I think the ability to know that, I'm also a very realistic person. If I look at previously, I never thought I could run a marathon. I never thought I could run 5K. I've done that. I found a way to do that, and I know that if I work with my mind, my body will follow. And that's always been the case. And going back to when I said I felt strong, because I thought about it, I went, no, that is how you feel. And usually I would have been, oh, I don't want to say that in case I then don't feel strong. And be like, but that day I did feel strong. I felt good. I felt like I've done my best in my training and I'm trying to look after my body. And I'm also a big believer in the words that you speak to yourself. I do that a lot when I run. To myself a lot. I'm like, you can do this, Michelle, you can do this. You've gone through harder things, which I know I have. As someone who's gone through grief and who's lost a parent, and I know there's not much, I've survived a lot of things mentally. So when I'm doing a marathon, I'm like, no, you've done tougher things in life than this, and this is tough. But at the end of it, something beautiful, and you're going to celebrate. And I'm a big believer in what you feed into your mind, I think, translates into your bodies. And any runner will attest to that. You've probably been to a stage where you're like, I need to stop. But then you carry on going, and then you're like, okay, no, I'm fine now. Let me just carry on. I'm glad I didn't stop. And I'm a big believer in the power of the mind, the power of movement. But I think it starts within the mind for me.
Do you work on that at all? And I only ask because it's something that I'm curious to develop more. Like, and I've had moments where I've tried to have that dialogue of like, keep going, you can do this. But there's, I feel like I've worked so hard in developing the cynical, like the sort of self-sabotaging voice in my head of like, you're knackered, stop, give in. Like, what are the kind of equivalent reps you do?
Your body follows, follows. Yeah. Negative language to me when it comes to describing my training. So for example, if someone asks me, okay, how are you doing today? If I'm not having a great day, I'm not having a great day at the moment, but I'm working on it. There has to be some kind of solution plan. I'm working on it. There has to be some kind of, it's not my definitive state. I'm not staying here. You're allowed to process things, because I also don't believe in toxic positivity, that everything's bubbles and sunshine. But I believe in, you experience something, whether that's training or anything in life, you feel it in the moment, but you have to push through it. You can't stay stuck in that space. So I know, for example, Chicago next week, Sunday, I'm going to experience some things, but I'm going to have to push through it. I'm going to have to push through it and finish. And that's it. But I'm feeling strong in my belief going into it. That's just the plan of action.
I love that. So Chicago, zooming back in.
Yes.
I won't get into too much detail, but for you, like, from your previous experience with marathons, how do you approach the sort of 48 hours leading into it? Because I'd love to put this out before Chicago for people who may also be lining up, who may be thinking the same kind of things and maybe having the same thoughts in their head. Like, for you, for your experience, your kind of personal perspective, and I know there's not one size fits all, and everyone has their own ways and means, but are there things you do to keep yourself centered in that place that you're talking about, like feeling confident and strong? Do you have rituals? Do you have habits, traditions? Like,
so that's that's a good, so do I, oh gosh, 48 hours, that is actually next week. Interesting, because I just started my list, so I'm a big believer in lists. So
I love a list,
especially when it's races abroad. I feel like so many things can go wrong, so I make a list of things that I need. So I do have rituals. So the day before the race, the day of the race, I have the same breakfast. I've done that for not just marathons, I've done that for my halves, for up until my first 5k race. I have
talk me through it.
I have,
come on,
I have porridge, I have oats. So I'm not a bagel banana Instagram person, but I have porridge, oats,
it's a classic,
with cinnamon, blueberries, chia seeds, whichever one, and almond milk. And I have that, but I weigh it exactly how I want it, and I have that with black coffee, and that's it. That's a ritual for me, but I'm very particular about the brand. So I bring my oats and my almond milk in my suitcase, and I get the hotel, whichever hotel I'm staying at, to make it for
I
me.
I did that
exactly
in Valencia.
I have to, because it's different. I'm very particular. Mine's oats, milk, and I even bring the cinnamon that I use. I'm very particular.
Control the controllables,
the controllables, because that's all I can do. Do I have rituals? I have to wear all my favorite rings and my favorite necklaces. So I don't know how jewelry became a part of the ritual, but it's just something I do for all of my marathons. And I have to wear something bright. I never wear a race all black, because I'm not going to a funeral. I am going to celebrate, and I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to enjoy and experience something new. So I never wear all black. You'll never see me in a race in all black. That's a strict rule of mine. And I listen to music in the morning. I think I just listen to music and I dance, which people probably think you shouldn't, but I can't dance, by the way, so it's my version of dancing. I just like listen to music, and I just try and forget that I'm about to run a marathon in the morning, and then I go out there and just go out there and just start. I don't think about it, I just start. So
I love that.
Yeah, so that's usually my routine. I usually fly out a few days before the race, especially Chicago. I'll be there from Thursday, pick up my bib, really embrace it all, try stay off my feet as much as I can, and just, I will say actually one thing, I journal. Journaling is a big part of my training completely, and it goes back to training your mind. I'm a big part. I journal. I look back at the journals that I've done throughout the training cycle, because I think that gives me a lot of confidence that you have done the work. There have been times where it's been bad, but look, the next session was good. And I think it gives me a lot of peace in terms of mental clarity that I can do it, confidence that I've put in the work, and also all the nerves, which, because I'm human, I put it down on paper, and then that's it, it's gone. So that's a big part of my, I think, training and pre-race ritual.
Collecting that data.
I'm telling you, I'm a techie. I can't shake it.
Well, so you're just listening to your response then, because you said after the 5K, there was a screen grab, there was an image of you finishing that, and then there was an image, you said as well, of you when you'd done New York. And it's collecting that sort of bank of data, also part of what helps you move forward in running.
It's not just data from journaling.
It feels remiss to call it data.
It's everything. It's documenting. These documents sometimes are for myself. I'll take, so Runner's Vantage, I started that because in the name, I didn't used to think about myself as a runner. And I think I want to think, okay, no, I want a vantage view of a runner who doesn't think of themselves as a runner, but they are a runner. They don't look flashy. They're not sponsored by every athlete, but they run after work and they do that. So it was all part of collecting that diary and that data of training, of putting myself out there. And I think that's what keeps me going when I look back and I think, wow, I never would have thought. I thought I'd carry on going to park runs maybe every other month, but I never would have thought that I'd be at UTMB of all places, being invited to go to events to talk about running, things that I love, to be on panels, to run. I never would have thought that. And I think that kind of stuff keeps me going because I think everyone should have access to this. Everyone should be able to, if they want to, because I believe if running's not your thing, whatever it is, everyone should have access to a tool that allows them to be healthier, number one, and to have that mental clarity, to be able to build connections with community. I think it's all part of also my career with health equity. I believe it's a human right. I think everyone should have access to those pools of tools to enable you to just become a better person and live a more fruitful life.
You know, I said earlier, I think I could see in the future I'd be downloading an app from you. I feel like I'm going to be voting for you.
No, I'm actually really shy. My friends would not say that, but I'm quite like, yeah, but I like to talk.
No, but it's lovely. And it's just really, you've got like such a beautiful lens on what running means to you. And it's clearly given you so much. But what will it be giving you once you cross the line in Chicago?
Yeah.
How's that going to, what have you got? Have you got something planned? Are you going to go out? Like what's the next chapter look like post-Chicago? Are you not thinking that far ahead?
No. So post-Chicago, I've got a rule. I take a break from running. I don't run for at least a minimum of, I'm going to say 2 weeks, but I'll be lying. So I'm going to say 10 working days.
such a runner.
I'm saying 10 working days. Maybe eight. So we'll see how the legs feel. But I, post Chicago, I take a break and I journal a lot. I write a lot. I reflect on that training cycle. I think it's important to, I used to get so used to back-to-back races, but I needed to take a step back to think, wow, let me actually just take a step back to think of what did I do? What have I achieved? How's this made me feel? For example, New York Marathon, one of the things I reflected on, I felt like I could have handled spending more time with my family and balancing that. And that's a big thing that I prioritized. And checking up on my friends for London Marathon, which was the next marathon I did. And I feel like it might not be running related, but just any kind of reflection or just saying, wow, I did that. Let me take a break. So after Chicago, I'm actually going to Miami to visit my friend. taking time off running. I'll be on a beach somewhere. And then I think I'll probably do a few trail races at the end of the year. I'll probably do a few trail races in the UK. And then I have a few things lined up for next year. There's a really big race that I should find out, which if you follow major calendars, I find out next week if I'm doing it. So, and if I don't get Tokyo via the ballot, I'm going to see if I can do it other ways. But I have a few big challenges, including also ultra distances and going back to UTMB for sure next year, and just seeing what else there is there.
I'm super excited to see what other chapters you're going to kind of write in your running story. So final thing to close thing out, if there's someone listening to this, it's maybe filtered out of the running bubble to someone who's maybe thinking that they're not a runner, but their friend may or may not be sort of tricking them into going to a park run in Tooting or somewhere.
Don't
in
be
the
that
UK.
Friend. No. Don't be that friend.
What would you say to that person who's like, I don't know, I don't think it's for me, but I'm not sure. What would you say if you were that friend? What would be your way to sort of maybe tempt them out on a Saturday morning?
I would say, oh, that's a really good question. I would say, running is much more than the surface stuff that you see, the aesthetics, the, even when you look at runners, the PBs, the crew culture, the knowing all the every single latest shoe is so much more than that. And it can be, as much as it's a community thing, it can be a very personal thing. And just try it. If it's not for you, find another vehicle. But running is just, it's just that tool that allows you to access other stuff, especially mentally, or even just to access different or learn different things about yourself. So I would say try it for yourself. It's much more than just the aesthetics and the things that might scare you when you look online on Instagram or when you see a certain type of runner. It's much deeper, which sounds obviously, of course a runner will say running is much deeper than running, but it is, it's much deeper than running. And it's really, I think it's really linked to the relationship that you have with yourself. So yeah, that's what I would say, just try it.
I love that. Running is so much more, and I feel like
it's so much more.
You're a really perfect example of that
much
as well.
More.
I think you are. I think you are. That feels like a lovely note to end our conversation. Yeah. I'm Michelle.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me in this park in central London and being such a brilliant guest in the Big Room.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
A big thank you to Michelle. You can find her on Instagram at Runners Vantage. I'll put the handle in today's show notes. Make sure you give her a follow. Good luck for Chicago and for all the other listeners heading out to toe the line. Think how far you've come and enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on The Big Run.